Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries has a worldwide reach and an intimate impact on lives through the gracious provision of our omnipotent God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one of his many blessings is the internet, and through it, anyone with access can be reached with his word. Today's Bible lesson, the glory in you is not yet manifest. The glory in you is not yet manifest. Everything changed in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31 say this. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis 1:29. Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And so it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, neshama. And man became a living being. Human life begins 1 second after birth when God breathes the breath of lives into the physical body. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." And then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Genesis 2, verse 22. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and were not ashamed." At first in the garden, everything was good. Then things changed. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. The start of the end. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Then the Lord God said to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of the ground all the days of your life." You see, everything was good, and then it was not. With man's permission and with man's cooperation, Satan instigated man's fall. Everything was glorious, and then it was not. And now we deal with the problem that Satan created. Welcome to a place where you can learn about what God has done about our dilemma. The opening song for this lesson, "Jesus Loves Me," by Chris Tomlin. Pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for being the source of all life. Thank you for being the source of all holiness. Thank you for being the source of all goodness, Father. We thank you for the many gifts that you give us in our lifelong journey through the gauntlet. We place our faith in you, and we hope for a bright future with absolute confidence, and we love looking forward to receiving all the things that you have promised us. Nourish us through the power of the indwelling Spirit. Teach us to be faithful stewards of your gifts. Keep us aware of the good works that you are accomplishing through us. Remind us that the best is yet to come. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's Bible lesson, the glory in you is not yet manifest. The glory in you is not yet manifest. I had someone tell me recently, you know, you just don't see me as I am. Okay. All right. So I think that's a perfect thing to use for this situation. Because nobody sees you, believers in Christ, as you are either. Why? Because the glory in you is not yet manifest. And so that's what we'll be talking about in this lesson right now. We're going to begin the lesson by taking the offering. In just a few moments, we're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. Guests, this is not for you, and welcome to you. So, Barah Ministries' financial policy is that we choose not to charge for the things that we provide to help you study the Word of God. So we do that because we wish to reflect God's grace. So help yourself to Bibles, to music, to books, to pamphlets, to anything that would help you, a family member, or a friend learn about God. No price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. Now, even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of cost. And we appreciate the financial support you provide, which allows us to share the Word of God with the hearers that God brings to listen. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. You know, I was thinking that this is a great room. And, you know, we routinely get 20 to 25 people in this room. We have a whole series of people who are part of this congregation in a non-resident congregation. And so the deacons and I are going to be talking next week about how to bring more people in to take advantage of this fantastic set of messages that come from here. And I had a brilliant idea to get more people in here. You know what it is? We're going to serve alcohol and we're going to get TVs. Right? Because if this was a sports bar, it'd be packed right now. That's what I thought, but then I quickly put that idea out of my mind. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Where's the beer at? I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. And in the past, pastors talked about looking through the eyes of God instead of looking at God as something unattainable, rather getting behind Him and looking out His eyes and see the world as He sees it. And I think that's what suffering does to us. It helps us to see through His eyes. Imagine sending your son to the cross and having to put him through the worst suffering of all time. And He was able to control that situation. And He could have taken him out of it, but He let him go through it. And I'm experiencing that now as a father. My son is going through things where I don't want him to go through them. I don't want him to fall and bust his lip. But he does. Yesterday or Friday night, Emily had changed him and set him on the ground, and he was 10 feet between me and Emily, and he was in between us, and sure enough, he fell and hit his face, started bleeding. And you see, we couldn't control that. We couldn't stop it. We were right there, and we couldn't stop it. God had the chance to stop it, and He didn't stop it. You know, it made me think back when William was born, he had the umbilical cord around his neck. I couldn't control that. He had a knot in the umbilical cord. I couldn't control that. Yet God did and brought him here. You know, it's like there's a saying, you can't control the wind, but you can adjust your sails. And it goes the same with traffic. You know, you can't control traffic, but you can leave earlier. You can use your turn signals. You know, and you see, as a father, you really understand what it's like to be God and having to see the hardships of another one and why it's so hard to see somebody else suffer in your life, because you don't want them to do that. You want to take that all on yourself, and that's not possible. You know, so how do you deal with those situations? The truth, church, Pastor Rory's messages, and that's why we come here each week. That's why we give to this, is to prepare. Not to avoid suffering, but to prepare for suffering, because we know it's inevitable. So just like it's inevitable to suffer, it's inevitable to give to this church. And that's part of your worship, is part of your suffering. And so we really appreciate all that you give. And a verse came to mind, which was Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And that speaks to all believers, not just men. It speaks to every one of us as we deal with things in our lives, from being a pastor and dealing with the hardships of people calling him not a pastor. I can't imagine how that would feel. Like, who are these people telling me that I'm not a pastor? They don't know what he's gone through to get to this point. They don't know what he does to prepare each week. And that goes for each of us. When people look at us, they don't see us as Christians. They see us just as people. So let's let them know that we're Christians. Let them know why we are so strange. And why we're so different than other people and have a different perspective when things do happen, how we can still be happy through things. That's because of the truth from the Bible, from the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for your constant support.
Thank you for your generosity. Today's Bible lesson, the glory in you is not yet manifest. The glory in you is not yet manifest. Deacon Denny, I know exactly what you mean about that time when the guardian angels get a little slow. You know, they start fighting for who's going to help William first. And so while they're arguing, you know, he's busting his lip. And I remember that time very vividly. Zachary was the one that was always doing something to get hurt. You know, Elliot was the smart one in the group. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I ain't doing that. That hurts. Don't touch the stove. So today's Bible lesson, the glory in you is not yet manifest. Now, we've completed our overview of the subject of suffering in Romans chapter 8. So let's continue our study of the third passage in Romans 8 that extends from verses 18 to 25. And let's look and listen to the passage together and let the word of God speak to our souls. Romans 8:18. For I, Paul, know for a fact that the sufferings of this present time, both right now and throughout the church age, this present evil age, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us, believers in Christ, in the future. Romans 8:19. That's the study. That's our next verse of study. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Romans 8:20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. Romans 8:21, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Romans 8:23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Romans 8:24. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, and we do, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. So let's turn our focus now to Romans 8:19. Here's that verse again. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the Son of God. And so this verse moves from an overview of suffering and glory in verse 18, right into you. And what does it say? The anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are, most of you are a son of God. In fact, you're more. You are an adopted adult son of God, the Roman style of adoption, where you were adopted as an adult. You are a child of God. You are an heir of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17 remind you, we've studied these verses already, but here's the reminder. For all who are being led by the Holy Spirit of God, and that's every believer in Christ, and all of you believers, and all of you believers are, there should be a comma after are. No, there shouldn't be. And all of you believers are being led by him. These are the sons of God. Let me read that again so I won't fumble it this time. For all who are being led by the Holy Spirit of God, and all of you believers are being led by him, these are the sons of God. So if you're a believer in Christ, you're a son of God. Romans 8:15. For you believers in Christ have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as adult sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Dad. Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit himself then testifies with our human spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:17. And if we believers in Christ are children of God, and we are heirs also. That means we have an inheritance coming. Heirs of God the Father, and fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're in union with Christ and we get everything that Christ gets as believers in Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, and we do, so that we may also be glorified with him. You see that we were getting a preview of verse 18 before we even got to verse 18. But here's the thing. You are a son of God. You are an adopted adult son of God. You are a child of God. You are an heir of God. And remember, with God, there is no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, no male or female. So this is not gender specific. So don't get your why don't they say daughters of God? There's no gender implied here. You are a child of a king. That's what's implied here. And what a wonderful thing that is. Now, knowing that you're a son of God, an adopted adult son of God, an heir of God, a child of God, when is the last time somebody stopped and stared at you and started pointing at you and held their hand over their mouths and gasped and turned to their friends and said, "Oh my God, look! An adopted adult child of God. Wow, I can't believe it. Can you even believe it? Should we get his autograph?" Has that happened to you recently? No, that hasn't happened. It happens to me all the time. I have a hard time walking through airports because people are just all rushing up on me. You know, they say, aren't you that pastor from Facebook? Yeah, that's me. Yeah, man, that quote you had recently about suffering, man, that was unbelievable. I just spread all over the world. I know. Well, can I have your autograph? No, not right now. You know, I'm really busy. So, you know, you guys make me famous. Well, to most people in the world, we as believers in Christ are invisible. As Deacon Denny so eloquently put it, you know, nobody pays attention to us. Why? In fact, we as believers in Christ are hated. You know, I've been all over the world. You mentioned Jesus Christ in China, you might get put in jail. Why? John chapter 15, verses 18 to 20 tell us why we are despised. John 15, 18, if the world hates you, and it does, first class condition if in the Greek, and it's true. If the world hates you, and it does, you know that it has hated me, the Lord Jesus Christ, before it hated you. He was the king of the universe, and nobody liked him very much. John 15, 19. If you believers in Christ were of the world, and you're not, why? Because the world is Satan's kingdom. If you believers in Christ were of the world, and you are not, the world would love its own. The world would love you if you were like them, but you aren't. But because you're not of the world, but instead I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. John 15, 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, and they did, they will also persecute you. And so we relax. We know that suffering is a regular part of the believer in Christ's life in Satan's kingdom. We also know that your glory is not manifest yet. Right now, no one sees you as you are. Nobody sees you as a son of God. Nobody sees you as an adopted adult son of God. Nobody sees you as a child of God. Nobody sees you as an heir of God. Nobody thinks you have an inheritance that's exceeding and abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. But then, no one saw the Lord Jesus Christ that way either. Here's how he's described in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 to 4. Isaiah 53, 2. For the Lord Jesus Christ grew up before God the Father like a tender shoot. What's that? Parched ground and a little green thing poking up out of the parched ground. And like a root out of parched ground. Jesus had no stately form. He was not gorgeous. He had no majesty that we should look upon him. Nobody looked at him as who he was, the king of the universe. Nor did he have any appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was an average guy. Ladies, that's who Prince Charming is. Prince Charming are just those average guys who are willing to grind it out with you through thick and thin. They're not all those beautiful Michael Weston types that you hope you run into one day. They're just the average folks who want to grind it out with you. No pun intended. There was nothing special about Jesus' appearance that we would automatically be attracted to him. In fact, it was the opposite. Isaiah 53:3. Jesus was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, a man acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Sound like your life? That sounds a lot like your life, doesn't it? Who's been telling you lately that you're highly esteemed? His world contained the same suffering that our world contained, only worse. And you know what I was thinking about as I drove over today? I was thinking about the first lesson specifically of the day. And I was thinking, how many times did the Lord Jesus Christ talk about his crucifixion after he was raised from the dead? And see, I haven't checked out the answer to that, but the only one I can think of was when Thomas said, I won't believe that you're you until I put my fingers in your side and put my finger in your hand and I see the scars. But other than that, he never talked about his affliction after he was raised from the dead. And you know what? He had the worst circumstance in the history of mankind. Crucifixion is the worst form of death you could ever have. He didn't talk about it. He didn't talk about his traumas. We do. We love talking about our traumas. We love carrying our traumas around like a little pet. Oh, look at my trauma. Here's my pet trauma. Look at this. Look what happened to me. You know, and the one thing that has come to my mind very vividly is that when we walk on the street and we're looking at people, those are people. They're not things. And every one of them has something going on with them that we don't know about. And that if we did know about it, we would look at them differently. I had an experience recently where I was talking to a guy about some of his afflictions. This guy is a young man who has arthritis so bad that he can barely walk, that he can barely work, and he's hurting all the time. I can't even imagine what that's like. But I do know this. If I had seen him on the street, I'd probably look at him, what a bum. You know, what a bust out. But then when you get to talk to the guy, you find out he's a human being. He's not a thing. And that he's got something going on with him that I could have never anticipated. That's the same with all of us. I can't look out at you and know how you're hurting today or what you're hurting about. But I know you are. And I know that I care about whatever that is. And I know God cares about whatever that is. We all are bearing our crosses. And what we need to do is learn how to bear those crosses with pleasure, because we know that God allowed those. And what he's going to do is cause all of those things to work together for good. You know how we know that? Because he promised it. That's why. So Jesus suffered. Those who were supposed to welcome him with open arms, the Jews, insulted him in every particular way that he could be insulted. Hey, teacher. Hey, rabbi. Nobody ever said, hey, Messiah. Right? They're always talking to him like he's a dog. You're talking to him like he's a man. Jesus Christ wasn't a man. He wasn't just a prophet. He is the uniquely born person of the universe, 100% God, 100% man, and one person forever. He is the most amazing being that has ever existed on the planet, and he created every person that's on the planet, and they looked down on him like he was a dog, and they crucified him, and they treated him miserably. And what was his response to that? An amazing response, unconditional love. Unconditional love, something that Satan and his kingdom have no answer for, unconditional love. And he loves you unconditionally, and you can't disappoint him. You have never disappointed God. But raise your hand if you have told yourself that you think God is disappointed with you. Raise your hand if you have. Yeah, see? Now, who told you that? Satan told you that, because God tells you the exact opposite. He loves you unconditionally, and the un part means no conditions. And see, look at how eager we are to believe that God doesn't love us unconditionally. He loves you with no conditions. He doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't expect anything from you. All he wants you to do is accept the love and stop hurting yourself. Stop trying to please him. He's already pleased. Stop trying to impress him. He's already impressed with the work he did in you. Accept the love. Open up and take it. Thank you. Let's wrap our arms around and hug that boring life in obedience to him. Somebody who's crazy about you. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're running around looking for somebody to acknowledge us. God already does. We're looking for somebody to fill us. God already does. What about that? He comes here. We're supposed to welcome him with open arms, and the Jews rejected him. Were repulsed by him. Refused to believe he was the Messiah, even though he fulfilled all 109 predictions of where he would be born, what he would look like, what things would be in place when he came. Isaiah 53:4. Surely our griefs Jesus himself bore. You obsess about your sins. You obsess about your mistakes. He bore them in his own body on the cross. And our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. People believed the Lord's suffering meant that he was being punished for his sins. What a lie. He came here voluntarily to serve you. Well, so it is with you. Nobody saw him as he is. Nobody sees you as you are, believers in Christ. Why? Because your glory is not yet manifest. Its manifestation is a future event, even though the glory lives in you right now. Jesus Christ, as the Shekinah glory, is indwelling your body. For now, you live in an evil age, the church age. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 say this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 4, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Your glory is not yet manifest. Denny, can you put up a break song real quick? All right, take a 5-minute break, and then we'll see what that means. Your glory is not yet manifest. 5-minute break.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need. But you keep on searching. I've done all the work. But you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah, it's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind,
your pursuit of perfection,
leave it all behind,
your fear of rejection,
leave it all behind,
your temporary pleasure,
leave it all behind.
Welcome back. This lesson, your glory is not yet manifest. What does it mean when something is manifest? It means that the thing is clearly visible. You are not, who you are is not clearly visible to the world. You are like a pupa who is on the route to become a monarch butterfly. You're in a covering. And you're going to go through an apocalypse, and that apocalypse is going to be the removal of a covering. And then you're going to be clearly visible to the world. Romans 8:19, the anxious longing of the creation, that's all of us, waits eagerly for the revealing, the apocalypsis of the sons of God. You are the sons of God. You are the children of God. You are the heirs of God. You are the adopted adult sons of God. You know what you are? You are a surprise party waiting to happen. Your glory will be revealed at a future date. The glory that is already inside of you this minute. And your glory will be clearly visible for all to see. How does Katy Perry say it? Baby, you're a firework. Come on, show me what you're worth. That's exactly what's going to happen in your life. You are going to be shown to the world to be who you are. The manifestation of your glory is an event that we wait for with eager anticipation. Until then, evil. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful of the lifestyle you run here in Satan's kingdom. That's what walk means. Be careful how you walk. And you only have two choices, not as unwise men, but as wise. Why? Ephesians 5:16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. You live in this present evil age called the church age. And right now we suffer. For right now we are surrounded by people and things that drag us down. And unfortunately for us, we willingly go to those things and allow them to drag us down. We give ourselves to them to be dragged down. And we would do well not to take our minds and our hearts and our bodies to those places which drag us down. We would do well not to stimulate the flesh. We would do well not to listen to the world. We would do well not to put ourselves in harm's way. Yet here we all stand, covered by the flesh. And that's what the world sees in us. The world sees our flesh. And your body does the dirty work that keeps your glory from being manifest. Your body is a jail sentence in remembrance of Adam's fall. And that's exactly why at the beginning of this lesson, I reminded you of what happened in the Garden of Eden. That everything was good. As God talked about how he was making the world, he talked about how good it was. And then there was the fall. God easily could have. Yet he did not remove the flesh from us at the moment of salvation. So what are we? We are monarch butterflies inside a pupa. And when the verse 19 says, the longing, the anxious longing of the creation, we groan, we're fighting our way, trying to get out of that pupa. Like a monarch butterfly, like the beautiful, beautiful creatures we are, like the new creature that we became at the moment of salvation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come, but yet not clearly manifest to the world quite yet. And not even manifest to you. How many times have I told you who you are? How many times have I railed at you? You are sons of God. You are children of God. You're adopted adult sons of God. You are heirs of God. You are priests. You are ambassadors. You are redeemed. You are reconciled. You're expiated. You are indwelled by the entire Trinity. How many times have I told you that over and over and over? You are royalty. You are you are holy priests. How many times have I told you that over and over? And you just stand there looking at me. Who's he talking about? I ain't no priest. You should have seen me this morning at 5:30. My hair was like this. I don't look like no priest to me. I get sick of telling you. Why do I have to talk to you into how magnificent you are? I get sick of it. But I'm going to keep on doing it. You know why? You know what motivates me? Two words. That's what motivates me. Two words. What do you think those words are? Now. He don't motivate me. He is. He's my man. That's different. Two words motivate me. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'll put you in charge of many things. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be in charge of some of y'all. For all eternity, amen? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to be in my neighborhood. And the more you don't like me, the more likely it is you're probably going to be in my neighborhood, so you better get used to it. Drinking Kool-Aid without high fructose corn syrup. Yeah, God easily could have removed the flesh from us at salvation, but he didn't. And so the flesh does the dirty work that keeps our glory from being manifest. But the flesh is that thing which is concealing our glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 to 12 say this. We apostles ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, believers in Christ, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged by God. And the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Therefore, we apostles ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. That's what you're experiencing in this body. You're experiencing persecutions and afflictions, the gauntlet, all of which are designed to teach you to endure. 2 Thessalonians 1:5. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. When you get up to heaven, you're not going to have all those doubts like you did before. You're going to know you went through all this stuff, and this is well deserved because your God wanted you to have it. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. For after all, it's only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I told you about that earlier. He's going to be coming in a robe dipped in cardinal red blood. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Why? Because they wanted that. Because they asked him for that. Not because he wanted them to have it. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of mind about Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. And when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, in his saints, the glory is to be revealed in us. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. To this end, also, we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling, and that God will fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you, and you in him, you in union with him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will come in glory, and at that time you'll be right behind him on white horses, and you will be revealed in glory. And all creatures are going to be sitting there going, yeah. Is that Rory Clark? Seriously? He swore. How did he get a horse? It was a free gift. It's the same free gift that I offered to you how many times? Father, I believe in Christ. It's not hard. The Lord will be revealed in us in a future date. Why? Because at the moment of salvation, through the baptism of God the Holy Spirit, we were placed into union with Christ. And that means we get everything that Jesus Christ gets too. If he gets glory, we get glory. Amen? Amen? 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 say this. See how great and unconditional love God the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. 1 John 3:2, beloved, John was so romantic, beloved, divinely loved ones, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. In other words, our glory is not yet manifest, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him. Sometimes I dream that he is me, sometimes I dream that's how I need to be. See, we don't want to be like Mike. We want to be like LJC, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we, as believers in Christ, will see him exactly as he is. 1 John 3:3. And everyone who has this hope, this future vision fixed on him, purifies himself just as he is pure. We long to live the holy life. We long to live the life of obedience, and we ask God the Holy Spirit to make that a possibility for us. You see, the Lord has bathed us in his power, and the world does not yet see who you are. Our magnificence as sons of the living God is lost on this lost and dying world. What does that mean exactly? It means our glory is not yet manifest. Yet when the Lord comes back, we will be with him, and we will see him for who he is. We will recognize him, and we will see ourselves as we really are. We will finally recognize ourselves as the children of a king. And all the things that he has made new will be laid bare for the eyes of all to see. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. For this reason also, God the Father highly exalted the Lord Jesus Christ and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Philippians 2:10. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me in the course of my lifetime that they wonder what's wrong with me. They say, Rory, you are a really cool person. You're a funny guy. You're a nice guy. But I don't have any idea how you could believe that Jesus Christ is God. Man, why do you say that? Because Jesus Christ is not God. Okay, that's cool, man. What do you mean that's cool? That's cool. Here's what I know. I know that one day you're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. So don't tell me he's not God. When you get in front of him, tell him he's not God. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to feel this really funny feeling just below your thighs. And your knees are going to bow. And then you're going to feel this funny feeling in your mouth, and your tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So you can tell me anything you want. You tell me your opinion. You tell me your beliefs. Your beliefs are valuable to the degree that they agree with this. Because this is the truth. T-R-O-O-F, the truth. And when your beliefs line up with the truth, then you've got something going for you. Right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, when the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Here's what it says, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. We are not basically good people. Romans 5:8, but God the Father demonstrates his unconditional love toward all mankind, all creatures, in that while we were sinners, that means while we were unbelievers, Christ died as a substitute for us. John 3:17, God the Father did not send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world, but the Father sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved through believing in him. John 1:12, and as many as received the Lord, taking advantage of the free gift of salvation, to them he gave the right once and for all time to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Closing song, He Remembers to Forget.
Kept from heaven because of their sins. Salvation's door is open, whosoever can enter in. Christ died for the whole world. All you need is to believe. God wants none to perish. Your sins are a memory. He remembers to forget. He has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us. And yes, He remembers. He remembers. He remembers to Our God cannot lie. When stumbling into sinfulness, we need not hide, 'cause God keeps his promises, all that he has made. Restoration is provided, and we can boldly
God and Father, thanks for putting a covering on us that keeps us incognito so that the world can't see how magnificent we are. It's great that you took the focus off of us and put it on your marvelous Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at your right hand and who will come back and make his enemies a footstool under his feet. We just pray that you, every day, you help us to know him more and help us to take advantage of all the great gifts that he's given us, and that we just maintain the faith and the hope and the love that God the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence puts in us. And let us show that to the world. Help us to make the world know you and your Son and all the free gifts that you've given. And Father, we know that some people would say that you don't care about football, but we know you do. And we know that you bleed cardinal red. And so today I just ask you to take away the 50 years of frustration that Cardinal fans have had throughout the years and give them a chance to go to the Super Bowl and to enjoy the ultimate prize. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening. That's right. Go Cardinals.